All right, a good Friday afternoon to you. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show. My goodness, do we have a show planned for you today? Fun stuff. Chase McCabe is off today. He is doing a Zoom meeting for a bunch of, it's like a TED Talk or group they get together.
Yeah.
So Chase is doing that today. He's one of the big participants in it, so it's really cool.
Good for him.
Right? I mean, the guy is amazing.
He's all over the place.
Yes. How you doing, buddy? Dr. Crane's going to be in for Chase McCabe today.
Yeah, I'm here all day, every day. Friday for sure. Oh, there you go, Joe.
There you go. I can see you now.
Now you can see me. There you go.
What's happening, man?
Not a whole lot during the new year, just the way you thought you would.
Yeah. A big night for you because your Mississippi State Bulldogs are playing in a bowl game.
They are at 5-8.
That's
who would have thought?
Are they 5-8?
They are 5-8.
They played 13 games?
That's what it said online. It said 5-8. I thought it was 5-7. Yeah, 5-7.
They're 5-7.
I'm already predicting a loss. There you go.
That's terrible. What about that other team that resides in the state of Mississippi?
Ole Miss. I mean, Kirby Smart. Goodbye.
What's he doing?
I mean, he's in Georgia, but like, what are you doing exactly?
What's going on? I mean, it was. I'm telling you, it's like rooting now Ole Miss for a bunch of foster kids because their dads abandoned them. Nobody loves them, and they go out last night and knock down Georgia. It was one of the best bowl/football games I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'd agree to that. I mean, the second half was completely different from the first half.
Right.
I looked at that Georgia team coming out of the gates of like, if you score on your first drive, you'll be in – it's all your game. That's it.
Yeah.
Game is in your hands, but they didn't. They had a little bit of a struggle bus. They had a few of those little play-action rollouts with Stockton. But other than that, the run game was good for them, and then it just fell off in the end.
It was something and amazing. Ole Miss wins 37-34.
39-35.
39, yes.
That safety at the end.
Yeah, what nonsense into the bowl game because Georgia tried to trick play, get the ball on the field, and the ball hit the pylon, which is a safety, and there's 1 second left, so they brought him back out twice to finish the game off. It was nonsense.
You know, it makes you wonder, like, why even put the 2 points on the board? It's just like a petty 2 points in a roundabout way.
As Sean McDonough said, it matters to a few people.
Yeah,
right?
That is right.
Last night. So anyway, it was a fun, and we go back. We started all that with Miami winning over Ohio State Wednesday night. The game just there. We'll get into all those games. We'll get into the absolute Bama beatdown. And I'm involved in like six group text chains that are going on.
Right.
And a lot of those could not stop laughing at what happened to Alabama.
I mean, it's a joke. They're a joke of a college football team right now, a program in some regards.
Oh, that's pretty steep. Are they still made to the quarterfinals?
I think it was more of a personal invitation from the committee saying, hey, you're Alabama, come on into the playoff. That's it.
They did beat Oklahoma on the road.
But Oklahoma was one of those teams you just think, eh.
You think Notre Dame would have played better against Indiana yesterday?
100%.
Okay.
I think they would have at least put up 10 points.
What was it, 38-3 was the final?
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness.
So we'll talk about that. Nobody's talking about Oregon, which is – I'm not. I mean, it's, you know – and to see what Indiana did yesterday to Alabama was just something I've never really – I've never seen a Bama team in the last 25 years
– collapse like that?
Well, just have their ass whipped in every facet of the game. Every facet. I mean, they were dominating. And then they try to trick play, and during the game, Herb Truth's like, don't do this against this team.
Yeah.
They're so intelligent, and they didn't fall for it, and they stopped them and everything else.
It makes you wonder, what is Kellen DeBoer thinking on the sideline? Because he even said at halftime, like, that 4th-and-1 on their own side of the field was his fault. Again, why are you running a jet sweep on a 4th-and-1? Just get a running back in there or your quarterback and just sneak it up the middle? That makes no sense to me.
Can we outlaw all jet sweeps?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
When I played, they never worked. They don't work now. The Titans run it all the time. They don't work. They never work. I don't know why. Go down the field. Go north-south, not east-west.
When you can't seal the edge, guess what happens? The defense tackles you.
Yeah.
I don't know how to
tell you. Usually for a loss.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened. It was for a loss, turnover on downs, they end up scoring.
Yeah, we got a lot to get into there. Look, the portal opens today, and I've heard a lot of like, is this true? Is that true? Is that happening? So we got the official coach of the Chase and Big Joe Show, our good friend Walt Wells, the head coach at Eastern Kentucky. He's going to join us at 1. He's going to explain the portal to us.
Mm-hmm.
Portal for dummies. Right? Because everybody thinks they know what's going on, but you don't. And you just think, I'm going to offer Nick Crane $7 million. All right, you're my quarterback. What's the process? What do you go? Is there a bidding war? How do you know if there's a? How do I know if I'm going after you, Nick Crane? That you know, Mixed 92.9 is not going after you as well. How do I know? Not know that. You know, how do you figure this stuff out?
Talk to my agent.
Are they going at Mixed 92.9?
No, I don't think
you
so.
You don't know that. That's,
my agent does all that stuff for me. I don't know.
It's a great station. That's a lot of adult contemporary all day long.
I'm
man.
Okay. I'm good. I'm content.
But you can't tell me that because you're like, hey, well, we'll see. I don't know what's going on.
In due time.
So
right?
You have plausible deniability? Like, I don't, my agent, I haven't talked to him. My agent has.
Yeah. It's kind of like that Giancarlo Stanton thing with baseball. Like, he was the only no trade clause player in Marlins history.
Really?
$25 million. Yeah. That was a while back, though. He's on the Yankees now.
Why'd they trade him then? Because is he good?
Yeah, he's all right. Now he's kind of falling off a little bit.
He was hitting some bombs with the Marlins, right?
Yeah, he's okay.
Isn't there a big hockey game down there today or something?
Yeah, the Winter Classic. There you go.
And is that today?
It's indoors.
They're opening the roof.
Oh,
I was told.
Are they so?
Yeah.
At Lone Depot? Good deal.
Yeah, which is on the site, sacred ground, of where the Orange Bowl Stadium used to stand.
Used to.
So I got a problem with that from day one.
Uh-oh.
The Orange Bowl Stadium was beautiful, was so unique, was so beautiful. That probably has another question down the line, a question of the day, but that's what's happening. All right, our question of the day is, and this we want you guys' reaction, we want your boldest sports predictions of 2026. Your boldest sports predictions of 2026. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Does any come to mind, your boldest sports prediction of 26?
I have one.
Go ahead.
Tennessee Titans to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I think that's pretty bold. And by the way, our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com.
I'm glad you have that because I never do.
That's okay.
Proud
We're also broadcasting from the Busy Bee Studios, heating, plumbing, and air conditioning, Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service.
See, that's why I'm glad you're here when Chase is out because I don't know any of that stuff.
That's
what's
okay.
going on. My boldest sports prediction of 26, Titans will be the first team ever to pick number one. Well, they won't be doing it this year because they're not number one, but they will be. They picked number one last year. They'll pick the top five this year, and they'll pick number one in 27.
So they'll be the first team.
I think the franchise is that bad.
Wow.
That ran so badly that they're not getting out. They'll head into the stadium with the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, man, they're terrible. And a lot of teams are moving around and getting better and better. Thank God for the Raiders and for the
Giants. The Jets,
yeah.
The Cardinals. The Raiders.
You said, yeah. Well, the Browns, I think, have a quarterback now if they don't screw that up. He's throwing the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. So that's our boldest one to do that for all those that goes on with the your boldest sports prediction. So anyway, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All right, the game last night, Sugar Bowl with Ole Miss and Georgia. I mean, you're like, all right, Ole Miss got there. You feel good, you know, good story. It's going to end tonight, and it wins. Now there's a report that, unconfirmed, that LSU is like, all right, you guys aren't coaching anymore. The right. 4 or 5 coaches. Do you think this is true?
Look, if it's Lane Kiffin and he's saying, oh, I didn't say that, he probably did say that because he's been saying the same thing all along. I'm not leaving Ole Miss. I'm not leaving Ole Miss. And he left Ole Miss.
Right.
So I think this is just another bit of icing on the cake for Lane Kiffin to say, I'm not here to sabotage things, but these are my guys, and I think I'm just going to take them with me.
I mean, he can't. I mean, he's already got a bad look anyway. I mean, and now it looks, if this is true,
and the reason why I think it is true is because if they go out there and they coach in that semifinal game and they make the national championship and they go win the national championship, what does that say about Lane Kiffin?
Right, right.
Think about that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You abandon your team in the time of need and they go out there and say, you know what, middle finger to you, we're going out and winning the national title. And Pete Golding, their new head coach, the former DC, is saying, I got me a national championship as a head coach.
He does.
And you don't.
He does. You were too young. You weren't born then, but 1989, Michigan did the same thing, and it was Bill Frieder had agreed in principle to leave Michigan basketball to coach at San Diego State. And so Bo Schembechler was like, nah, uh-uh, you're a Michigan man or you're not. Fired him.
Yeah.
And then so Steve Fisher took over. Steve Fisher led them, won 6 games, led them to the national championship in 89. Glenn Rice was – we could have won that team with having Glenn Rice. But anyway, they won. And now who gets credited with the national championship? Bill Frieder or Steve Fisher? Steve Fisher does. Sure. So Pete Golding, I mean, people are like, well, Lane didn't win these last two games. Lane left that team in disarray. Usually when you leave a team in disarray, they collapse.
Right.
So there's a picture this morning that Charlie Weiss Jr. is already back in Baton Rouge working on recruiting, right?
That was reported last night on SEC Network.
Right. So what's the balance of him going, helping Ole Miss take on Miami and still keeping your duties to LSU? Right? They created this nonsense.
And I've mentioned to you about Oregon. Will Stein, their offensive coordinator. He's the head coach at Kentucky. So that's another conundrum of, well, you have a head coach here that's coaching another playoff team. What's the dynamic there? Is he leaving to go back to Lexington after yesterday's game of Texas Tech?
Right.
Say, hey, I got to recruit. I got to go grab guys from the portal. Nobody knows. And that's the crazy thing about it is you don't have a safety net plan to fix this.
No, and plus, this is even more because he's a head coach.
Right.
Charlie Weiss is a coordinator. Will Stein's, and then the DC at Oregon is the head coach at Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So what's he doing? So, I mean, you have your staff of 10 in place. Like, go out, hey, coach, hate to bother you in the middle of your game planning for Indiana, but, you know, Nick Frazier, he's wobbling on us. What are we going to do? I mean, how does this all work?
It doesn't. That's the thing. Right now, it needs some form of, I wouldn't say government, maybe.
No, we're not. Government's not getting involved.
It's a bad word to use.
Right.
A form of structure.
There form of structure is good. Yeah. We'll take that.
A form of structure to lead this in the right direction. And they just, they seem to have something like that with, you know, Nick Saban was mentioned on the TV yesterday. Could he be a form of, like you mentioned, a czar of president for college football? He said he'd like to sit in on those meetings. I don't think he really wants to be that guy because, he's got a lot of other things. He's now a minority owner of the Preds. His hands are full.
Yeah, right. They are.
So they just got to think that full way as well.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Our question of the day, your boldest sports prediction of 2026. Where'd you go? Dylan. Preds trade UC Soros to Edmonton before the deadline to get a haul. I don't know enough about if Edmonton's good or all that, but
I believe they just traded for a goaltender.
Did they?
Pittsburgh. I think Skinner went to the Penguins, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Look at you, man. Caleb says about Kiffin. He wants his Ole Miss win because he's still getting the bonuses, which is true, right? Didn't he get a
$250
last night for them winning?
So $500K total.
God. And then he prances around last night at the LSU basketball game.
Kim Mulkey walking hand in hand.
Yeah. Like, look at me. I told you, he's never won anything. Never. And this is even better. So if you're Ole Miss, you're loving this because he's gone.
He wins the approval rating of LSU fans for the time being. That's
what Wesson Herbert says, good afternoon, guys. Got a question. How many days until Alabama announces they're looking for a new coach? I'll hang up and listen. I will tell you, Wes, that a lot of my good friends are Alabama fans. Are upset. They're not upset so much losing. It's how they lost.
Yep.
Right?
You're absolutely right. Even though they won 11 games this season, you still look at the DeBoer situation and say, look, we got to the dance. We advanced one round in the dance, but it's not a national title. And the team is still in disarray because a lot of those guys that are on that roster now probably entered the portal. I know for a fact there are two guys this morning, one of them being a running back, the other one being an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, entered the portal. They left Alabama. So that's something you got to keep in factor of because yesterday at the Rose Bowl, no run game whatsoever from
Zero.
Alabama. They had no push on the offensive line. The defensive front for Indiana was just closing them down completely. That's a big issue. You can't revolve your offense around wide receivers because one of them in Ryan Williams didn't do really anything.
Did you see the pregame when they showed Ryan Williams? They're talking about how he's had trouble catching passes.
No.
They showed a preview and he dropped a punt during warm-ups. Like, hey, he's had trouble with the drops, and then he drops a punt. And I was like, oh, they couldn't have timed it. And it was live.
Yeah.
I was like, they couldn't have timed this any better. We need to check on Justin and Greenbrier. By the way, Brando's our producer today. Brando, we need to send a wellness check for Justin and Greenbrier. He says, my bold prediction is the National Predators get into the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup. So, Justin, we're going to have a wellness check on you a little bit.
I think the first part of that's not too far off. I think they do make the playoffs.
Yeah, but they ain't winning Stanley Cup.
You never know.
Team is not built for the Stanley Cup.
I said it with Jake, I think last Tuesday on Next Man Up, if they get in the dance, they're a completely different team.
True.
That's all you got to do in the NHL is just get in the dance, the playoffs that is, and you're good to go.
A lot of people went in. A lot of people are really happy Alabama got beat yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, is that much chagrin, disdain? What other smart word I can use for your, I hate to use the word hatred, but your dislike of Alabama?
Yeah, it's like ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch. The wicked, yeah, it's that's exactly how this
Do you know that song?
Somewhat.
You sang it pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, kindergarten.
Yeah, I'm about to tell you, a lot of SEC fans were very happy about Alabama in the way, and it was more than, because we're usually all, you guys are always like, hey, the SEC, the SEC. No, this case was like, ha, 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 ha. And it's sad because not many people are talking about Indiana and the beatdown. It's not like Alabama sucks.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned to you, we'll get into a little bit more of this in the show, but the MVP of the Rose Bowl was not a position player. It was
Love this.
Interior. So this is something we could get into a little later on.
Well, do we figure out his first name is Coogan, the center, right?
Yeah. Don't quote
me. I always think Patrick Coogan was a child actor back in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, Pat Coogan, actually.
That's Pat Coogan.
I want to say Peter, but it's Pat.
Pat Coogan. Yeah. A center getting the MVP. I love that. That's a good football team. Now they take on a team that nobody talks about, the Oregon Ducks.
Quack, quack.
And that game is at the Peach Bowl, yes.
The ninth.
The Peach Bowl, because Ole Miss and Miami is at the Fiesta Bowl.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So, all right, there you go. All right, we are off and running on the show again. Our question of the day, your boldest sports prediction of 2026, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A lot of topics today coming in about the Lane Kiffin part. Did you laugh at Bama, the transfer portal happening? Was last night's Sugar Bowl one of the best bowl games / football games you've ever seen? Let us know about that, what goes on in your mind as well. Again, today, busy day, transfer portal's happening. We'll have Coach Walt Wells with us at 1 o'clock to explain the portal to all of us who really don't know what's going on but think we know what's going on. We'll have him with us. All right, Dr. Crane's in for Chase McCabe. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. If Indiana is not playing this in the locker room after their games, then something's wrong. Good call, Dr. Crane, on this.
Thank you.
Fernando.
You know what his brother's name is?
Armando.
Alberto.
Oh, that's great. I mean, and we, Tom Brady was talking about college football and said about Fernando, about how good he is, what he's done in Indiana and the play and everything, that pretty much saying the Raiders are going to take him number one.
As they should.
Yeah.
I mean, they need a quarterback bad.
It's one of the best stories, Indiana football ever. Ever. They had the second most losses in the history of college football.
I don't know if you saw that little interview that Fernando Mendoza had with one of the ESPN reps, but they asked him the question of, did you make the right decision? He goes, God, I hope so. When he transferred from Cal to Indiana, yeah. It's like, yeah, you hope so.
That was a good little piece. That dude's he's fun to cheer for.
Yeah.
You know?
He is. He seems like he's very, I guess.
Humble?
Humble, well-rounded with his family.
The opposite of somebody else that plays quarterback around here.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. Definitely has his support system all squared out.
All right, let's go to our phone line, 615-737-1025. Our question today, the boldest sports prediction of 2026. John, welcome in. John, what's your boldest sports prediction of 26?
Joe, my boldest sports prediction for 2026 is that BMI will finally sign the deal to restore the amazing Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.
Is it as simple as that, John?
Joe, you know, you've been here. We fought this year after year after year. They're ready. Going to cost the taxpayers nothing. Would make that facility with Geodis just an amazing place to go. It's going to happen. I feel it in my bones.
What would be, and when they do that, what changes immediately? Anything?
Nothing really, Joe. We would have the normal schedule throughout the summer, our eight races or so that we run, maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks. But then we would bring in at least the trucks, Xfinity, and hopefully Cup, because all of the drivers want to run in Nashville. We've produced so many amazing Winston Cup champions. Tearing that place down, Joe, would be like tearing down the Ryman in country music. You just can't do it. And why not make it another a beautiful facility that will attract more tourism? Not that we really need it. But, yeah, it's a no-brainer.
And the fact that it costs the city zero would be like, all right, where do I sign?
That's right. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? I know this whole Ingram thing has been, you know, through the mill, and we've been supporting the track and fighting against people who move in and cry about the noise every now and then. It's like, you know, we've been there 120 years, Joe. It's like moving next to an airport and crying about the traffic.
Right. I mean, get it. You're right.
Come on, man. Let's, you know. And I believe one state, I think it was Iowa, just passed a state law that you cannot move in and get a group to fight against a racetrack. So, you know, that's my prediction. It's my hope. It's my prayer. It always has been. All the great people that support Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, that's their wish. And that's my bold prediction, man. It's time to do it.
All right, get it on, John. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, take care, Big Jeff.
All right, John. Again, our question of the boldest sports predictions of 2026. Another John in Nashville says, I'm happy that Ohio State lost in Bama. Plus, Bama lost her quarterback one to broken ribs. Not many teams could compete with a backup quarterback. I get it, John, but they weren't doing much when he was doing – when Ty Simpson was in there.
When he was on the field. I mean, there was really not much movement when it came to the offense. I'm not just talking O-line, but I'm just talking about just play – production in general. Like, even the dropbacks were sacks. I mean, there was no wide receiver really open. He wasn't hitting his wide receivers on the dime.
Right.
They were overthrown or thrown to the sideline. I mean, it was bad.
They were just out. I don't think they were out-coached. I think they were just outmatched.
Yeah. Outmatched is a really good way to look at that.
TD from Nashville. And this is something interesting. My bold prediction is Indiana will prove that a national championship can be won with three-star athletes and a complete culture change. Right? I mean, we've never seen this to this level, ever. Mm-hmm.
Look, you look at a guy like Kirk Signetti. I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine this past weekend, it's during the week, excuse me.
That's all right.
The holiday screwed me over, but that's all right. Going into looking at JMU, Bob Chesney, a guy that has now left to go to UCLA.
Yeah.
You have a JMU coach, former JMU coach now at Indiana, and Kirk Signetti. I mean, they continually, that program is used as a stepping stool to go to another program to the next level. And I think it's just genius because you have a guy like Signetti who comes from that Alabama tree,
right?
Learned how to be a coach at a FCS school, jumps to the next level at Power Four with Indiana, and the culture changes change it tremendously.
Where did I hear somebody say that Kent State had an opening for a head coach, like, and Signetti was on Saban's staff from 07 to 11 in Alabama, and the president called Saban and said, hey, do you have anybody who wants this job? It's the worst job in college football.
Right.
He goes to his staff and says, hey, anybody interested in Kent State job? And Signetti raised his hand, and Saban was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, head coaching job? I'll do it. Like, it's the worst job in sports. He's like, I don't care. And then look what he's done now. I mean, it truly is.
There was a feature on Signetti, I think earlier on, it might have been before the Big Ten championship game, maybe Fox or ESPN or somebody did it, right? And he was talking about how he was on Nick Saban's staff, and he goes, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to be a head coach. I knew if I was still under Nick Saban, that was never going to happen. And he ended up leaving, and sure enough, all these other jobs opened up for him.
So all the coaches are Saban disciples, right?
That's correct.
So Lanning coach for Saban, Signetti coach for him. Did Golden coach for I guess
defensive
so.
Side, yeah. Let's look real
for,
quick.
For Saban, and then, Cristal Ball was O-line coach for Alabama back in the mid-teens.
He was on the Alabama staff.
Pete Golding was?
He was.
What year was he in Alabama?
2018 through 2022 is the defensive coordinator, inside linebackers coach.
Pete Golding was?
Yeah.
So did he take over after Pruitt? So it was Kirby, Pruitt, Pete Golding. I didn't know he was that. I should pay more attention to these things.
Maybe a co-defensive coordinator, but it doesn't say. It just says DC. So, yeah.
And then when did he leave in 22? Where did he go after 22?
Ole Miss to do the same job.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And now he's the head coach.
Now he's the head coach. Did he play at Delta State? Where did he go?
He did, yeah. Delta State from 02 to 05 as a safety.
Tell you, man. Get that burning desire inside of you to get it done. So good for Pete. And who else we leaving? Was it all eight coaches or just the four that's remaining?
Let's look at that.
Because DeBoer never coached with Saban.
No. He succeeded Saban. That
and then the
it.
Texas Tech coach who – Texas Tech, we hardly knew you.
Again, it goes to show you that I don't want to say the Big 12 is just an invitation to the playoff, but it is. The Big 12 is looked at as the Pac-12 of 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
Unfortunately.
And I read they spent more money on their NIL than anybody else did.
Yeah.
Like, and then the backer of the booster came out and said, we're going to double down next year. And then again, I mean, it's just the absolute wild, wild west. What's going on out there? Nobody knows.
Look, when you can't regulate the money coming in and paying players, it's just going to be. It's like Major League Baseball, essentially. You can pay them whatever money you want. Now, I'm not saying there's any deferred money in college football, but if that were ever to be the case, you're really talking about some craziness.
It would be insane. Yeah. Like the Dodgers. We'll pay your contract. We'll pay your great-great-grandkids. We'll get your salary in 21-20 or something, whatever.
Yeah.
Just nonsense. Good. All right, we're late for a break. We'll come back again. We've got more questions. We've got more everything for you today. Talk about the college football, what's happening, your predictions going forward on the four teams that are left out there. Again, our question of the day, boldest sports predictions of 2026. I say the Titans will pick number one in 27. Dr. Crane's was?
The Titans will make the playoffs.
We're completely opposite ends of the spectrum there. But we want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chase McCabe he's not off. He is working. He's on a Zoom now with the TED Talk people around the country. He's giving a TED Talk today. So good job, Chase. He was in the running for LinkedIn Software Cloud Storage Architecture Man of the Year. Didn't get it, but he was nominated.
Hey, as long as you finish top three on the podium, that's all that matters, right?
That's right. You know, do that. There's a lot of... What's the word where you're happy for somebody else's failure? Schadenfreude is something like that. It's a big German word.
Never heard of that.
There's a lot of that on the text line. A lot of y'all are happy Bama got it handed to him yesterday. 1-833 Joe, being a huge Bama fan, looked like we didn't show up with the fire in our gut we needed. Did better with the backup quarterback than with Simpson. True, but at that moment, Indiana was like, all right, we're just going to ride this out.
Call the dogs off.
But you're right. I mean, that's a big dude, man. His helmet was gigantic, too, on his head, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's carrying around a watermelon.
Yeah. Big old head. Oh, big.
A lot of knowledge in there.
A lot of knowledge in there to do that. Again, our question is, boldest sports predictions of 2026. Let's go to the phone. Rick, what's happening, man? Rick, what you got for us?
Hey, Joe. I just want to say a couple things. All these talking heads out there keep picking against us, keep calling us frauds, all these fan bases that we face. Keep saying we play cupcake, hadn't played anybody, they're going to beat the brakes off of us, and then we go in there and beat the crap out of them. And Nick Saban's the modern – I mean, Kurt Cignetti is the modern-day Nick Saban. I mean, it's just plain and simple. But my bold prediction is Indiana will win the national championship and Fernando Mendoza will be the MVP.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. I count me this one guy who was a non-believer because
I know.
It's like Saban said that he was like, we're golfing his buddies. They're like, we're going to beat Indiana. That's a basketball school. And he's like, wait. You got to stop that way of thinking. It's a damn good football team. And they proved it. I think it proved more yesterday, Rick, to everybody else how good Indiana is.
Yeah, and he's come in, Cignetti, and changed the culture, the mindset of both the university and the players, and that right there is a monumental task for Indiana football, who's been in the doldrums for decades.
Are you an Indiana fan?
Oh, yeah, ever since about 1975.
Did you go to the Final Four in 87?
No, I didn't. I watched it on TV and, was glad we won it. I'm wanting to get to a national championship, and I'm thinking about going this year if Indiana makes it.
Heck yeah, you do. Rick, thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's go back to the phone line. Jack, Jack on the question of the day, boldest sports prediction of 2026. Jack, what's happening, man?
Brother Joe, I hadn't talked to you since last year.
Oh, I get it.
You love it.
I get it. Love it.
Right before my fearless prediction, you couldn't pay me $1,000 to miss Paul Feinbaum's show today.
Oh, my God. It's going to be on fire today.
It hurts just thinking about it. Anyway, my fearless prediction was the Titans are going to build a chapel out at their practice facility.
Okay.
Because what the hell? Nothing else worked.
So I guess prayer works, right? Prayer always works.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jack. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you for calling in.
Okay.
It's crazy. I mean, this the Everybody, we should be talking about Indiana. We should be talking about Mississippi's big win. But everybody's really happy that Bama got it handed to him.
Yeah, and look, everybody knows that I'm a big running back fiend. I love that position. I love what the offensive line has done. We've already previously talked about it. But just to get in a little more nitty-gritty on it, there were certain runs in that game to where that there's a minute little opening for a running back to go through to get to the second level and continuously go on to score a touchdown.
Right.
That, to me, proves there is a willing urge that this team wants to win it all. And, again, that's just certain things in a game of football that need to be done. But, to me, I just think that's something that's a little different from everybody else.
I'm happy Ohio State got beat. I really am. I don't know why, because that Miami team, like, they probably shouldn't have been in the playoff, barely made it. But after watching that defense, I can't get enough of it.
Their front is incredible. I mean, they made Julian Sain look like a freshman quarterback. And nonetheless, he did have, what, 280-plus yards in the
air? He's got some of the best receivers ever.
Right. And they only held him to 45 yards for the entire game running the ball.
Something like that.
So, again, that you eliminate one of their strong suits in the Cotton Bowl, and you force him to throw the ball, which is what you want. That creates more pressure. I believe Ohio State had they only converted 3 of 10 third downs, and out of those 3 of 10, I'd say 3 or 4 of them were like 3rd and 20. 3rd and 9, they were behind the sticks on a lot of them.
Yeah.
And when you do that, more than likely, the ball's in your favor.
I will tell you, college football, this play, it got me. You got me. I was really like, I'm not so sure. You got me, man. I mean, I watched the Oregon-Texas State. It wasn't great, but Oregon did what they had to do to beat them down. And then you watched Indiana run over Alabama. Then last night you watched Ole Miss and Georgia, which might go down in the pantheon of one of the greatest college football games of all time because of what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Bowl, going to semifinals, the Lane Kiffin drama, Kirby and his dumbass calls making last night, and all that went down. I mean, it was something. I couldn't get enough of the game last night. And I love college football, but I was like, shoot all that in my veins last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what everybody wants. Like, I'll make a little joke here, but like Kirby Smart, the Sugar Bowl wasn't so sugary for him. It was very sour. I mean, terrible joke. Dad joke Friday, right?
At what point in your mind did that, like, I'm going to use this joke today. That's going to be pretty good.
2 seconds ago. That's exactly when it took place.
I like the effort, though, man. Yeah.
No,
it
but
got in.
You're right, though. It's a game I just couldn't take my eyeballs off of. I mean, it's just, you look at Georgia and you just think, that's a pro-style team. They're going to ram it down their throat.
Right.
You'll get your medicine, right? No. Ole Miss came out, and again, I was telling you this before the show, one of my buddies is a big Georgia fan. He was like, modern day Johnny Manziel is out there on the field for Ole Miss. I'm like, you're absolutely right. The guy threw 360 something odd yards in the air. Like, you don't see that in a bowl game, especially
no.
a playoff game.
And those three passes he threw in that one drive, like, he just flipped it out there, and then they had him sacked dead to right and just making complete. It was like this guy and his story. I mean, it was great, man, because they asked after the game, like, you beat a big win, Sugar Bowl. He's like, all thanks to Jesus. Give my glory to God. And I was like, attaboy, man. It was all about, yeah, it was about the moment, but it was about
staying humble.
Staying humble and all that. I'm telling you, I was so exhausted after that game, I needed a cigarette.
Wow.
That's how, I mean, I was, older people get this joke and you get it. But, I mean, I was that exhausted. I was like, I gotta have a cigarette. And I couldn't get enough of the post game. I couldn't get enough of the nonsense going on, the running the second back out, the stage people running the stage in and out 3 times and moving back out. I wouldn't have gone out. I'd been like, I'm not playing this.
Yeah. I mean, it was a safety. It was simply that. And, you know, you have all the shambles at the end of the game. You just think, well, why even? Again, to the broadcaster's credit, some people needed those 2 points.
I mean, was there somebody in the booth like, we're going to save 1 second here because we want more chaos to happen? And Pete Golden, did he get like 7 Gatorade dumps?
Had to.
Still, it was fantastic to watch all that go on, how it ended and everything. And just the fact that this, you know, and I had friends at the game last night were telling me that it was the loudest environment they've ever been in. I mean, I love the Superdome. I think every big college football game should be played at the Superdome. I love the Superdome.
See, I'm opposite. I think every game, I think college football should end every single year at the Rose Bowl.
You got me on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Rose Bowl is just, like, it's the granddaddy of them all. Like, how can you not have the final game be in Pasadena, California?
Are they not down to one game a year now? Because UCLA's moving.
Think so.
UCLA's going to SoFi.
Yeah.
But is it the Rose? I hope the Rose Bowl is staying at the Rose Bowl.
It should. I mean, why? Why would it move?
I don't know. I mean,
they got the parade there every year. They have to keep it there, right?
The only thing I was reading about is that the luxury suites aren't available at the Rose Bowl as they are at SoFi.
Oh, well. I mean, come on. It's the Rose Bowl. If there's some sort of exclusive club that you have to be right in to get those, so be it. But it's the most one of the most historic, I guess, atmospheres in all of college football.
Oh, I agree.
How can you not pass that up?
I agree. I think the worst atmosphere they ever did was when Clemson beat Alabama and they played at the 49ers Stadium.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care. San Francisco doesn't care about that stuff.
Levi Stadium's nothing. Look, I never got to experience it, but I feel like Candlestick Park would have been an awesome place to play football.
Yeah, I've been a couple games there. It was different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was no luxury involved, but it was just kind of cool because you were literally at the end of a cul-de-sac, and there's a big stadium there. I just like the Superdome. I like the fact that a lot of historic games have been played there. I just think it's, I don't know, I liked it. And last night kind of solidified that point for me with the crowd, how loud it was, the excitement. Those games are always kind of exciting, and then to see Ole Miss do that. I just think that Georgia – that little time left on the clock, and I'm not a big fan of like, don't give enough time to score a touchdown when you can, but Georgia there was nobody over the top.
Yeah,
when Chambliss threw the ball down the field.
That's what I tell you. Why have your DBs play that like press man? Like,
right,
you could easily just play a cloud coverage. That's what bothered me the most.
I mean, the guy had him beat by 5 yards and got a big gain down the field.
Now I'll ask you this when we can get to the other side, but Kirby Smart.
Am I dying?
No, Kirby Smart. At the end of the game in the press conference said he was playing for overtime. Do you like that or you don't like that? And hold your thought for it.
Now you got me, man. You know where I'm going. All right, we'll take another break. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Dr. Crane in for Chase today, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Again, our question of the day, boldest sports prediction of 2026. It can be anything, 615-737-1025. This is the pace. This is some show on 102.5 till 3. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. Indiana flying high, Ole Miss flying high, Miami flying high, Oregon flying high as they head into the college football semifinals taking place next week. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe off today. Dr. Crane in for... Chase McCabe today as we're getting you rolling. 1 o'clock, Coach Walt Wells, the official coach of the Chase and Big Joe Show, will come on and explain the portal to us. We're not going to talk about players, but the process, because we all think we know, but we don't know. Now we got a coach who's in the middle of the portal who's going to take some time out to explain to us today. All right, what was the question?
Kirby Smart admitted after the game that he was playing for overtime. Do you agree with that?
Drives me insane. You know that.
Because I know you hate kickers.
I hate kickers.
And the game was ended on a kick, essentially.
I know.
Minus the safety.
I know.
And that kicker he had a leg last night. And he kicked, a 56-yarder, a
right.
59 or 58?
Something like that.
He hit a lot of long kicks. So, I mean, to you.
I hate punters.
Right.
Kickers, I don't rely on kicker to win me a game. That's the thing I go for, right? And if they do, that's fine. But to say you're doing that, look, your first and second down call set up where you can do on third down, right? And so that pass on third down that Stockton threw in the end zone was terrible because your first and second down calls were bad, right? Mm-hmm. So you convert a 4th and 9 on that drop. 4th and 9! And the guy's wide open because Ole Miss is playing that zone coverage. It's wide open. So I know the real estate gets shorter down there, but spread your guys out more. Run things off the boundary to the corner. I just think then you could get back inside there. I thought it was really bad. And Mike Bobo's a great play caller for Georgia. I just thought some of those calls were
a little iffy.
Yeah. But no, I'm not playing. I go for it. Like, I got so many messages Sunday when the Bills didn't convert the 2-point conversion and lost the game. Ha ha, look at you. I'm like, I got my team, my guys on the 3-yard line, one play to win the game. Would you take those odds?
Yeah, I would.
You're shaking your head, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want a
bobblehead.
I want enthusiasm.
Yes, I would.
100%. So I'm not a guy I'm not a guy. You're just putting off because you're scared.
Right.
You're scared.
Well, to that point, like Kirby, when he said he was playing for overtime and then proceeded to answer the question of, yeah, I played a man coverage, that's not playing for overtime. If you're playing man coverage on a 3rd and 5, how is that playing for overtime?
Yeah, right. Right, if I beat you, I beat you. Like, you saw what happened.
He's contradicting himself a little bit.
He is. Sometimes you think you're too smart. Does he call the defensive plays?
I think he has a little bit of say in it because he was a part of the defense.
They cut to him, and he was signaling in last night several times. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I had a problem with the fake on fourth and five.
Yeah.
Because they ran the offense out there real quick, and they snapped it real quick. And had they gone out there and settled, and because the left tackle had no idea what he was doing, right? When you're a left tackle and you're dumb, you're going to block down, right? Mm-hmm. So he blocks down. I'm not saying he's dumb. That play was dumb.
Yeah.
You block down, and the guy came off the edge and just sacked Stockton.
Stockton, yep.
And I was like, if you would just take a deep breath, you caught him off guard. They're already reacting. They're running people out there. They're still pointing around left and right. But your defensive end guys, when all fails, go after the quarterback. You taught that junior pro, high school, college, and the pros.
Always go after him. And, like, you're right on the left tackle's point because that's the safety net. When you don't know what you're doing, you just down block.
He blocked down.
You're right.
And that guy went right off the back of his ass and went down and sacked. And I was like, what are we doing here? Look, I don't care who won the game last night. A little bit Ole Miss because, again, that's a foster family that nobody wants, and they're winning. I love this.
That's fair.
And so I think my tide's turned. No pun intended, is turned to Ole Miss. But I didn't care. I just want to see a good football game. And it's unfortunate one team had to lose last night.
So out of the four teams that are still left going to the semifinals, you lean more Ole Miss over Indiana or anything like that?
I lean the front seven of Miami over anybody else. I don't know. I still don't think Indiana's been tested.
Really?
Don't hate me for this. Ohio State was a good test, but then Miami took him down. And had to fight for it. But then, I don't think Alabama showed up yesterday.
Hang on. Take out the
Don't hate me.
Just take out the Miami-Ohio State matchup and use that for face value of what it's worth going up against Indiana in that Big Ten championship game.
Okay.
To me, Ohio State lost that game on their own. They fluked that field goal at the end.
Yeah.
They ended up winning 13-10 for Indiana. I don't know if you can really base Indiana saying that they haven't played anybody because I think they have. I think exposing the Illinois of the world, and going on the road to Eugene, Oregon,
right,
and beating Oregon, which they're now going to have to play in the semifinals. It's hard to beat a team twice, sometimes three times, but for this case, twice. That is a team that, I wouldn't say destined for greatness, but
right,
for sure is on the road to a Cinderella story.
But here's, I'm Nick Saban's friends.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm still Indiana basketball school. That's how stupid I am.
Well, you're not my friends if you're Nick Saban's,
right,
friends. I don't care.
No, I'm saying that he golfed with those guys.
Right.
They're like,
I know,
we're
going to
beat him because they're Indiana. And he's like, no, you got to stop. And I got to stop thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I will until they win the national championship. And that's my fault. I just don't know what Alabama showed up for yesterday. I really don't know because they looked terrible. That was the worst prepared Alabama football team I've seen going back to Mike DuBose days, and that's back in the late 90s. Terrible.
So if Indiana goes out there and beats Oregon, I don't know, let's say by 10 points, that still doesn't prove
I think a little bit more, yeah.
Okay.
But again, I got to change the narrative in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm the problem. All right, back to the phones we go. Kenny the Mailman with our question of the day, which is boldest sports predictions of 2026. Kenny, happy new year, my man. How are you?
All right, back at you, my good friend. A couple of quick predictions. I know time is fleeting.
Nope.
More and more people are going to find out. Tune in to 102.5 between 12 and 3. You never know what to expect. A lot of radio shows, you know what's going on. Hey, you never know what Big Joe's going to come up with.
Right,
I love it. Don't miss anything there. Second prediction. As long as the Titans have Adams running them, it'll be trials, tribulations, and turmoil. And it's so easy to predict because you predict ahead by looking behind. And since the Super Bowl era, they lucked into one Super Bowl appearance.
You're right.
Music City Miracle. Most of the time, they win four games. You look, the Cardinals, the Titans, there's two or three of the Chargers, the Jets, they have horrible leadership. It's not the players because they don't know how to pick them or sign coaches. It's the leadership. And third, Fernando Mendoza is going to make millions of dollars from endorsing products. He is great at speaking and talking. He had me in tears during his Heisman speech.
Yeah.
He said, it's hard to tell the Indiana faithful goodbye, and playing in front of them has been a dream come true until I realized he just played six home games at Indiana.
Right.
He still doesn't realize where all the tunnels are underneath the stadium.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah.
He played one year there and was almost crying, having to say playing there was such a dream come true. It's like, I don't even know if you remember playing there.
Oh, that's right. Maybe he could be like Pavi and he could sue for another 12 years to stay in college football.
He's coming back. Y'all have a great day.
All right, thank you. One more before the break. Let's go to Steven with our question of the day. Steven, your boldest sports prediction of 2026.
I got three. One is that Greg Pogue will catch his own fish and photograph it on Facebook.
Oh, that's a good one.
George Plaster will embrace his grayness and actually stop coloring his hair.
Grayness? Okay.
And my number one is that Mike Organ and Joe Dubin will bury the hatchet, become best friends, and begin working out daily with the Gaines brothers. That's it.
All right, thank you, Steven.
2026.
None of those are going to come true. Those are not bold.
Number three?
Not number three. This Joe guy and this Mike Organ guy. Hey, Steven's still back on there. Are terrible. That's terrible, guys. Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe they could do a boxing match.
I would pay big dollar for that.
What about Charlie Becker?
Fall Ryan alum, baby. I didn't go to school with the guy, but he's doing the same school. So,
still
hey.
Alum. Your football coach in high school coached him.
That's right.
Charlie Becker did those same locker rooms you were in.
That's right. I wonder if he had the same lockers, man. I don't know.
I just remember talking to Coach Brian Rector when he was over there, and I said, you know, big receiver, tall, fast, catches. I'm like, why is he going to Indiana? And he's like, that's a great question. He goes, I've told everybody how great this guy is. They won't listen to me. And now you see what he's doing.
Yep.
Sometimes, folks, your high school coaches know a lot.
And you know what?
They know a lot.
As a player, bet on yourself.
Yep.
Because you're the one that knows your compass.
That's right. Look at you. Always going upward, man.
You're right.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Walt Wells is joining us. He's going to explain. Listen, I want you guys to listen to this. He's going to explain the portal to us, right? We all think we know, but we don't know what's going on. He's going to explain the portal to us. We'll all be much better after the next segment. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show with Dr. Crane sitting in today. Brought to you by the Omni Natural Hotel. Right here, 102.5 The Game.